You have 17 voice messages. First voice message.
What's going on, dude? You son of a bitch.
You can't stop it.
I got shit on the tape.
End of message.
I got a big plan. Big idea, bro. Big idea.
Message erased.
What are you trying to say?
I'm so into you.
I really don't really care.
What?
Next message.
We're still here. Look at my cat.
Get off the cat.
You son of a bitch.
Enjoy it.
It's ODG, Occupy Dave and Giggles.
Where's that?
I got two turntables and a microphone.
Where's that?
End of message.
I got two turntables and a microphone.
Where's that?
Next message.
I got two turntables and a microphone.
Where's that?
Seriously, guys. Four.
You know we do a radio show, right?
I just want to say that we never claim to be a comedy show. We just entertain.
You son of a bitch. I'm freaking out. Freaking out.
End of message.
You look so good right now, you son of a bitch.
Next message.
Talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Get in touch. You got to talk about it.
Horrible. Give us a call. 646-915-9228.
DaveandGiggles.blogspot.com.
That's what it is. Give me a chant you want to lead.
Dave and Giggles.
Dave and Giggles.
Really big.
All right. After a lot of fussing and a feud, I think we're ready to roll. How's everybody sounding? Is everybody?
I think good? I sound okay.
You sound real good. You sound
I think
real
you definitely
good.
Do. All right. So here we are, a few minutes later than we wanted to be. We kept Kat hanging on the line, but I think we got everything under control. I am Dave, and across from me, halfway across the nation, is Giggles.
It's true. I'm here. We got Kat Brooks.
and on his lap is Little Giggles.
Who's watching some old McDonald. He's cool. He's cool.
Nice. All right. So today we got with us Kat, an old favorite, actually. Kat Brooks.
Why my favorite?
Because you're one of our favorites. You know, if we've had you on our show before, you automatically become one of our favorites.
Oh, okay. I see.
Does that make sense?
Well, I like you guys too, so we're
that's good.
All in the same boat.
So we're all in the same boat.
It's been a couple of years.
So what
since
the fuck has been up? Let's cut the bullshit. What have you guys been doing? Like, we have 2 years to catch up on. We gotta, like, you know.
Straight to the point.
We gotta get right.
We gotta
to
get
it.
Things rolling.
Yeah,
that's very true.
I'm a to the point kind of woman.
I know. I think the last time we talked to you, you told us, and actually you gave us an exclusive. You told us that you were going to be starting a documentary on Lady Gaga. What happened with that? What happened?
Her little monsters ate me alive.
Why?
I don't know. At some point, I don't know if... I don't know. It just got really catty, and I started getting a lot of hate mail. I don't know if it's because I didn't... you know, specifically choose certain people that really wanted to be a part of it. But her monsters unleashed on me like you will not believe. I mean, I didn't even want to go to my computer for 3 months because of all the hate mail and the, you know, so it was just really hard to finish a movie when you've got that much, you know, and the movie was about the fans, and I tried to highlight them, and I just couldn't go to any more shows anymore because of the threats. It was just, you know.
That's crazy. Why don't you just put out a video just showing how negative and awful and evil they were?
Because I don't, you know, it's hard enough to even admit the truth, but I kind of started to say to myself this past year, I took some time off, and I said, I'm just going to start shooting from the hip when people ask me about something because I'm always so, like, not, I don't know. I don't want anybody's feelings to get hurt, and I don't want to hurt anybody or making, you know, but it was just really tough for me. I mean, I had a lot of passion. I went around the world. I went to Amsterdam. I was exhausted, but I was passionate to make this. And, you know, I got a lot of, like, slaps in the face. So I had to stop doing that.
How far did you get? Did you get, like, a lot of footage? Did you get like hours and yeah. hours of footage?
Yeah, absolutely. And who knows, you know?
What did Lady Gaga say? Did she come out and say, like, I'm sorry, could we still finish this, or
nothing. That was it. So I have stored that footage, and, you know, I'm an artist. I'm a visual artist, and, you know, my movies have a lot of different elements to them, different layers, and, you know, who knows, I might be using that in the future. You know, I've got a lot of really interesting things.
Do you hold the rights to all the footage you shot, or does she?
Yeah. No, I have the rights to it.
That's good.
All of my video was mostly the fans. I mean, it was really about, the connection between an artist and their fans, and me trying to understand that and explore that connection.
If I were her, I would be so embarrassed by, you know, because she holds the fans so closely.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty heartbreaking. It was pretty heartbreaking. I just wanted to make kind of a nice tribute piece. So, yeah, that was kind of a bummer. That was a lot of energy, you know, spent on that. And, you know, it's kind of why I need to make this new film, because I just can't. I got to just go back to how I used to make movies before I kind of got into the business part of it, you know, when it was just about painting on a canvas and it was about the art, you know.
Sure.
So tell us about this new film. What's going on here? What do you got in the works? What's in the pipeline?
Well, I'm in the fundraising stages right now. I'm doing Kickstarter because I can't sit with this piece very long. And what I mean by that is, as a writer, when you write something and then you go on to direct it, you really live that piece. At least I do. You know, I live in that world. I absorb that world. And, you know, it just, this is such an intense love story. And it's between a psychiatrist and her patient. And
was this coming from somewhere? Or was this just something that, like, came to you? Or is this personal?
It's semi-autobiographical. I went through a really tough year. I mean, since I talked to you guys, I had to get this treatment done, electric shock treatment. And it really had a lot of bad side effects. I'm not going to go into it because this isn't a depressing show. But
you can talk whatever you want to talk about. We're here for you. We're here to open up whatever you want to say. We're here.
Y'all can be my new shrink.
That's what we're here for. We never claim to be a comedy show. We're here to just be one and have fun and enjoy and live and love and life.
Exactly. Live and love and life and fun. So anyway, it was just kind of created from what happened after that, when I realized what the effects were from the treatment that I was given. And, you know, this is my way of expressing how I thought about it.
I didn't even know they did that anymore.
They do, and they shouldn't. And I was going to sue the APA.
Yeah, it sounds like a horrible thing.
But the APA, I spoke to a lawyer, and the APA said, well, we're going to need to know who the psychiatrist is. And I wouldn't tell them because I love her.
So in the process of you going through the treatment and then getting electroshock therapy, you fell in love with your psychiatrist.
Yes.
Okay. And so obviously from that, this script came about.
Yes. And like I said, it was something that financing a movie and going through casting and contracts and all that bullshit takes so much time. I've had a movie in development for 10 years.
So
you know what I'm saying?
Andy.
Like, it's a nightmare. So that's why I'm doing Kickstarter. It's like, screw it. I need to make this movie in February. I need to get it out of me and I need to move on to, you know, a comedy. But I've got, you know, I like taboo love stories that are complex. And this is kind of my c'est la vie to that genre, if you must.
Is this a stem from the last one you made, the Loving Annabelle one?
Yes, yes, which was a taboo relationship between a teacher and a student. I'm just taking it a step further.
Where can they find people find Loving Annabelle? Is it online?
Oh my God, it's everywhere. It's on Netflix. You can instant watch it, and Amazon instant watch. Like you know, you can get it anywhere. Yeah.
I love it.
That's heavy.
Yep, that's what I've been up to.
So go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
So, Kat, I want to ask you, because this is, you know, seems to be like a common theme now, these people talking to their therapists and stuff happening. You know, the guy from Seventh Heaven was talking to his therapist about how he, like, molested girls back in the day. But it's
And
his wife recorded it. But, I mean, granted, it's definitely illegal to, like, molest kids back in, you know, whenever it is. But where does that fine line of, like, you know, I guess what? Does the therapist have to turn you in if you've done something, like, pretty terrible? Is that what the story is?
No, that's not really what the story is. The story is mainly the conflict of the simplistic is that it's a conflict of loving someone that hurt you. You know, I mean, it's really when you fall in love with someone and you put your life in their hands, you know, you basically say, I'm giving you my life, you know, to whatever. I mean, it's pretty fucking sacred. And then, you know, they do something that, you know, pretty much destroyed your life. I mean, it's tough.
So she was the one who pushed you to do this.
Well, I'm the one that brought it up because they were trying so many medications for my depression that they just wouldn't work on me. And then I had heard Carrie Fisher from Star Wars.
Sure.
Had it done, and it helped take away all the depression. So I'm the one that first brought it up. But, you know, she had to sign the slip in order for it to be done. And honestly, when the pharmaceutical companies are trying out 17 different medications on you, you're really not in your right mind to make a choice like ECT. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So that's kind of the struggle of it, and it's their connection through all of that, because the psychiatrist is just doing what she thinks is going to help, you know? I mean, there's an authenticity there, but there's also a rivalry because, you know, we come from very two different opinions and two sides. So I think it's going to make a great movie. I mean, I like the script, so.
So through writing the script, did you realize that your love for her was because it was like kind of like a nurturing role, or did you fall out of love, or did you maintain that love?
You're going to have to watch the movie to find out.
There it is. There's the big teaser. All right. So first off, let's get right to it. Where can they go to tell me?
All I can tell you is I am in a really good place right now in my life. So
good.
I'll let everybody figure out what they want to think that is. All right.
So where can they go for the Kickstarter?
It's all over my Facebook page. All you have to do is type in my name, Catherine Brooks, and my Facebook page will pop up, and the
Beautiful.
Links are all over it.
And then I'm going to ask one more question, more of like a favor. Can we get thanks to Dave and Giggles at the end of the movie? Just asking.
Special
you don't have
thanks.
To say yes. Special thanks to Dave and Giggles. It's all I ever want.
Do y'all want to be in the movie?
We could.
Sure.
We could.
Okay, well, let's do a show while we're shooting the movie. Yeah?
All right. I'm into it.
Okay.
How are we gonna fit into the show? Or the movie, sorry.
I don't know. I'll have to surprise you, and I'll give you your scene intentions when we talk, and y'all know
right,
what to
I
do.
Like it. I love it. I love it. So going back a little bit, you finished the Face-to-Face movie. How did
mm-hmm.
that end? I mean, that was everywhere. You were posting that everywhere. You were
mm-hmm.
literally going to these people's houses. And what was the ultimate end of that movie? Did you get to promote it and play it everywhere?
Yeah. I got my dream. My dream was always to have a movie play at Grauman's in Los Angeles, and that's where it premiered. And that was really exciting, especially because I was getting such a good response for a documentary, something that was very personal and very raw to me and scary for me to put out there.
Sure. You know, and it was also very positive. It was a very positive message.
Oh, it's a very, I mean, the message is there, and I believe in that message. And, you know, we're using technology way too much to connect with each other, and we need to be face-to-face more. It's just for our human survival, we need it. We cannot just be on machines constantly. And so the message is so, you know, it's because like one girl that I saw, she hadn't had a hug or been around someone face to face in months and months. And we went to a park and we shot there and we hung out and I just gave her a big hug for a good 2 minutes. I mean, the poor girl. So, you know, I mean, there's just really cool little story. So I was really excited about that film.
Do you think that it helped with your depression?
Yeah, absolutely. During that time, I think the depression was coming off of face-to-face because I traveled 23,000 miles.
Jesus.
And I connected with 50 Facebook people like intensely for 3 months. And when you do something that's that intense and you give so much of yourself to it, you as an artist are so mentally exhausted afterwards. Yeah, it feels like depression. You can't even hardly get out of bed. You're so exhausted from what you created. So, you know, I think that's kind of the answer to that question.
So did when you were all said and done, were you in a better place or in a worse place, do you think?
I was in a good place, and then both my grandparents died, which
Sorry.
Were like family to me. And so, you know, with face-to-face, it's kind of like that. I think it's a Zen proverb where you climb that mountain and you get to the top of the mountain and you take that deep breath and you're like, oh, I've made it. Finally, I can rest. And then you look in the distance and there's another mountain. You know what I mean? Like that was kind of what it felt like. But I don't know.
Well, I mean,
I feel like
you came off that movie and then jumped straight into the whole Lady Gaga thing. And it probably, because it turned so sour, it was probably worse for you, obviously.
Well, I'm very, very sensitive. I can't read. I sometimes do it, but it's very rare that I'll even read posts or messages or anything like that because I just don't have that thing that some people have when, oh, somebody's got a baby. I hear a baby.
Yeah, it's Giggles. It's
Giggles Jr.
He's getting tired. Giggles Jr. is getting tired and cranky, I can tell.
He was hanging out for a while. God. He did a good job.
I'm getting tired anyway, guys. It's past my bedtime, so.
It's getting past your bedtime.
Oh, my God. I go to bed so early. I'm such a dork.
Are you down in New Orleans now?
Yeah.
Is that where you're shooting it all down in New Orleans?
Yeah, in February. We're going to shoot in New Orleans, and then we're going to Thailand.
Oh, so. I was just there. I just got back from Thailand.
I love Thailand. It's my favorite country. I love it. It's so amazing.
It's pretty awesome.
So amazing.
It is pretty awesome. So I talked to you like a month ago, and we were trying to get you on then. We were getting everything geared up, and you were telling me about another script that you were trying to get off the ground. That was like a kind of a paranormal script. What was going on with that?
Well, I've got this, I have a production company now in New Orleans called Big Easy Pictures. Uh-huh. And so now I have like a handful of scripts that I want to direct. And this one is the one I was telling you about is based on a house here in New Orleans. That's one of the most haunted houses in America. And so that script is based on that. And then I've got a couple other ones that I want to do, but I optioned a book called Dora, A Head Case. And that's pretty close to being probably the next film that I shoot. So it's kind of just, I just want to shoot this one, get that done, and then see, it's probably going to be either the thriller or the book, which one I'm going to do next. But I can't think about what I'm going to do next. I got to like totally focus on this psychiatrist movie because it's intense.
I understand. So when are you starting production on that? As soon as you get all the funds going forward?
No, I'm already doing it. I met with the designer today. I did a reading with an actress today, and you know, it's already, we're already doing it. We just roll camera starting Valentine's Day, which I thought was super romantic.
fitting. Wow. That's intense. That's intense.
So Kat, let me ask you this. You're a big LGBT,
LGBTQTZY.
A big activist. You're a big supporter of all that.
What is that? What is all of that? What is all of that? Tell me what all that is.
Lesbian, gay, bisexual, queer, transgender.
Okay. Transgender.
All right. So asexuals don't fit into that at all.
No, I'm an asexual.
You're an asexual.
I'm going asexual, guys. I'm sorry. I'm
going asexual.
I'm out of the rat race. I'm done. I am asexual.
How long do you think that's gonna last? Like, honestly, do you think that you're gonna be good with being asexual?
Well, I don't know. You write down the date today. And the next show that we do together, I will let you know how the asexuality is going.
All right, I'm going to write down a date right now, and I'm going to hide it. And then next time we talk, and you write down the next time that you have a sexual encounter, we'll see how close I am.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see. You got a deal. You got a deal.
I love it. Deal.
So, Kat, the real question...
Go ahead, Mike. You had a question, though.
It's okay. It happens. The real question I wanted to ask you, since we last interviewed you, there's been a lot of changes in stuff that you guys can do, like use bathrooms or go to restaurants, things of that nature, be seen in public, get married. Things have changed, right? Mm-hmm. There's been a big you know, wave, a lot of states, right? Southern states, too, right?
Yeah, things are changing. You know, I don't think it can come fast enough for a lot of people. I don't think anyone enjoys being discriminated against, no matter, you know, who they are.
Right.
But I'm happy things are changing. I only wish that they could be a little faster. That's all.
It's true. True. Good question.
Good question.
So I want to ask you this too, because you have MTV's Real World, you know, cred on your And then you're in New Orleans. I guess this happens all the time, but this guy, what was his name? Ryan Knight, or whatever, the fella who was on the Real World, found dead.
Oh, I didn't even know that. No. I don't watch the news or follow anything. I've just been totally in this world. I don't know what happened.
I guess he was found unconscious. I'm just reading headlines. That's what I do.
Wow.
But he was from the world. Wow. He was from the Real World, New Orleans. And
I never saw that. I never, you know, I hate reality TV. I did. My Real World was before that.
Gotcha.
God, well, that's pretty awful. Okay. Y'all, we got to quit talking about such sad topics. Y'all are my dudes. We need to talk. I know it's life, but we got to talk about, like, I don't know. We can't talk about women because I'm celibate now.
All right. Let's.
For now.
So don't talk about women around me. Don't drive me nuts.
All right. Let's have a lighter topic. Let's talk about Ray Rice. He's back in the NFL. Any team will pick him up, can play him.
Right.
What do you think?
Peyton Manning. There's your answer. Peyton Manning.
Exactly.
Well, we did try to hook you up with one of our friends.
Giggles? We did.
I'm just guessing which team is going to pick him up. You know?
All right, guys. Well, my celibate ass needs to go to bed. I've got an early day tomorrow.
All right.
But
good
I'm
show.
Glad that
we
I got
appreciate
to
you coming
you
on.
Of course.
Give me a shout when you're ready to come back on, and we'll be a part of the movie in some capacity. We'll figure things out a little better so we can all be online and see each other and all that lovely stuff.
That sounds great, guys.
For those
I
who
love
have
you guys.
Tuned in
love you too.
We love you too. For those who've tuned in for Kat, there's a lot of you I see out there. Thanks for coming on and being muted and just listening. So there's that. Thanks, Matt. And all right, Kat, we'll talk to you later. She's gone. Ah, giggles. What's going on, buddy?
So wait, do we still have these other people?
There's some people there, so we'll let them go. If they want to tune in, and I don't even know if they can talk, but if they want to talk, they can chime in.
Post
whatever,
show.
It's cool.
All right.
Post show wrap up.
Excuse me, that wasn't very good. I'm gonna tell you right now, that wasn't great. We didn't have questions ready.
It was bad.
It wasn't bad.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It wasn't one of our
best.
So
what's going on over there? What's happening over there?
I'm just hanging, man. Living the dream.
Yeah?
Living the dream.
Man.
Sorry, a little stuffed up.
Well, I just got back from Thailand, which is where she's going to go shoot, which I can't imagine shooting a movie there. That would just be horrible, I think.
So let's talk about let me talk about your Thailand trip.
So went to Thailand, spent like 5 days there and 3 days in Bali. What was that?
Video Watch journal. It.
There you
Dave's
are.
Video travel journal.
Video journal. We could do something like this. We can just do like a shit.
Joe's gone.
So winter's coming. How's it down in Colorado?
It's kind of mild so far.
What are you doing over there? Yeah, it's been kind of mild here. But how was your Thanksgiving? I didn't get to do Thanksgiving this year.
No,
I was kind of sad. I was actually like a little bummed out. I don't think I've ever missed a Thanksgiving. That's it. That's all you got. You're just gonna sit there and stare.
I'm gonna Garth you.
All right. I think we need to wrap this up. We're gonna wrap this up because you're just sitting there and staring.
We got off to a oh,
Patrick Garrigan. Pat Garrigan just joined in. What's he doing over there?
I think he's just listening. Because
just listening.
He said the baby's asleep, so he's just listening.
Give me his phone number. I'll call him. We can talk to him.
I don't know if he wants to.
He's listening. He wants to be a judge. That picture of him is really intense. So you want to announce that you got a baby on the way?
It's true. We're going to do it on this show?
Oh,
there it is.
How do you feel about that?
He fixed his headroom.
Yeah, we're going to do it right now.
That's nice. Yeah, we got number two.
Yeah, it's real nice.
On the way in January. Oh, he's posing.
How are you feeling about that?
He's posing.
He is posing. It's an intense stare. For those listening,
yeah,
the look is intense.
It's true.
How you feeling about that?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling real good. You know, I'm not the one who's pregnant, so it's not really. But you know,
that's true.
No, it's good. Oh, he changed it to his headshot now. We're just gonna talk about Patrick.
I still have the same headshot.
Yeah.
I don't think he's on mute anymore. I think he can talk.
I don't think. No.
Patrick, are you there? He put it on mute again. He can talk.
Give us a
whatever.
Show us your sleeping wife and baby. Just move the computer around and show. Oh god,
this is getting real weird.
It's like we have guests.
Man, I think Kat made this whole show. This whole show, she just freaked everybody out.
Yeah, she's pretty heavy. Well, she didn't really want to talk about
she gets heavy.
The lesbian electroshock therapy. So,
oh man, do you think, all right, here's a real question. Do you think you could let anyone convince you to do something like that?
No. I don't want to get,
even if you were in dire straits,
but they've proved that
like
it doesn't
you
work.
Felt like there was no options possible. And that's the interesting thing. And like, I don't know why she went ahead and did it. I mean, I think she felt like it was the only option, but it's just so bizarre that you would let somebody that you think that you love to convince you to do that.
Yeah. No, I don't get it. Oh, so her.
You're not kidding.
So her therapist convinced her to do electroshock therapy. That was probably her way out. Was like, listen, you know. Oh, can we talk?
Or maybe it was a way of what?
Can we talk about Bill Cosby? I've been wanting to talk about this with somebody for a while. Let's talk about
Cosby. All right, what are your thoughts about Bill Cosby?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know the facts. But it, from the way...
So what happened was... What happened was... So Bill Cosby allegedly, along the way, drugged and then raped women, right?
Like
it
CeeLo.
Was only alleged. It never happened. Yeah, like CeeLo. But it never was... He never got convicted. So it just went away. Whether he paid for it to go away or not, that's besides the point. So a couple of, like a month or so ago, Hannibal Buress was doing stand-up in Philadelphia and started making remarks that Bill Cosby raped women.
Yeah.
And then since then, it just blew up in his face. And today, he allegedly pulled his status. I don't know what his status was, but his status from the college that he was an alum from.
Temple.
He pulled himself out of the board.
Temple. Yeah. He was on the board. Temple. Yeah. Yeah.
And now he's off.
Yeah. Well, man.
He also did it, which was interesting. I heard the other day he did an interview with some guy from NPR, and he was with his wife. Bill Cosby was with Camille, his wife, and the guy asked him about it. He says, "I can't let this go. If I'm a true journalist, I have to ask this question. Do you have any remarks about it?" And Bill just didn't say a word.
He clammed up like
just
giggles.
Stood there. He clammed up. He didn't say a word.
Yeah.
I feel like that's even worse. Like not even saying anything. That's just even worse.
Yeah.
But for that guy to ask him in front of his wife, that's a pretty low blow.
Well, I mean, it's the question. I mean, you know, it got him airplay. You know, it got him news coverage.
Sure.
And this day and age, everybody's looking for their, you know, their little sound bites. So.
It's true. Even NPR. So what are your thoughts on it? I feel like you want to say something about it. You want to talk about it. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, here's the thing. There's been so much. There's so much happening. There's so much like domestic violence. There's so much cops shooting kids. All this stuff, you know, that like I feel like people on Facebook feel like they need to say something about it when maybe it's best that they just stay quiet on the issue. You know, I'm not a young black guy who lives in a bad neighborhood, you know, who's had, you know, run-ins with the law, so I can't post anything about that. I've never raped a woman, you know, so I don't really feel like I should, you know, or I've never been a victim of domestic abuse, you know, like I don't feel like I have, I'm justified to talk about anything like that. Yeah, Andy did abuse me. He was,
sure,
but that's, we all know this.
He did. God, we all did know this. Well, it's also the whole Ferguson thing, where some journalist posted the address of, I think it was that, wasn't that story? She posted the address of Wilson, and everyone just started coming after her with death threats. And she was like, why are you coming after me? I didn't do anything. But she went out ahead and posted his address.
Yeah.
And someone else just said, well, if you can't deal with it, why should he have to deal with it?
It's a good point. I don't know. It's interesting, you know, I looked at the, I don't know, you know, it's like when we were talking to the guys, the Marines, you know, like I can't talk anything about the military. Sure. I don't know. I've never experienced it. You know, I watched the ABC interview with George Stephanopoulos, you know, he tells a story and for a moment there, you believe him. You're like, oh, well, it does sound kind of like he was attacked, you know, but then you hear the stuff like he didn't use his taser. His radio was on the wrong button.
Right.
He came after, you know, the guy was running away.
Didn't use the pepper spray.
Didn't use the pepper spray. But the guy, you know, and then you see the video. You see the video of him robbing the convenience store a couple hours before or an hour before. And so.
Well, I think the thing is that you could tell this guy, this kid was a total dick. But is that enough to say that he should have been shot?
No.
While I was away, I had very, very limited access to news, but the hearing came out that it was not going to go to trial. And I tried to read up as much about it as I could. And his description of it compared to all the eyewitnesses were completely different.
Right.
They were completely different. And that, as a juror, I feel like a grand juror, those are the ones who decide whether it goes to court or not. I that would be so hard. Like, do you take the word of a cop, or do you take the word of just this thug's friend, or well, just
easy,
someone in the
easy,
street who
easy
may
calling
or may
him a
not
thug. Easy, easy. Like, if you were on ABC, if you're on The View, you'd get, you know, there'd be a Twitter battle.
Sure.
You can't say that. You can't say these
there
things.
There would be a Twitter battle. No, you can't say that. I'll take that back.
It's too late.
But,
it's too late.
Maybe he was or was not an alleged thug. He did rob a convenience store. So who am I to say if he was a thug or not, right?
It's true. It's true. All right, so get this. This is new. Obama, and I don't know if it's because he's buckling to the pressure, but Obama wants to pledge hundreds of millions of extra dollars to body cameras for the cops.
I think it was $285
million. $285
million.
Get this. Here's all I'm thinking about is whatever camera company that is, their stock is going way up.
It's a total Halliburton thing where it's just like these guys are now going to be super rich.
Totally.
What do you think about that? Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's a good thing. I think you should, if you're paying taxes and they're the cops and their job is to protect and to serve, that any time that they're in an interaction with civilians or criminals or whatnot, that it should be recorded. And also, as long as citizens who are filming the cops aren't getting in the way of the investigation or sort of like, you know, stopping crime, it shouldn't be illegal, you know?
Right. Well, I think it's a good thing in the fact that now these cops are going to think about everything they do.
Yeah.
They're going to think about every action they take. And I think that is possibly the best thing that could come out of the whole thing. Another interesting thing. So I'm in Thailand, and I'm taking a taxi, and I'm with this guy who barely speaks English. And he's like, "Where are you from?" And I'm like, "America." And he's like, "Your cops, they're just shooting everybody up." So, I mean, it was amazing to me that it's such a worldwide thing. Like, everything that happens in America is scrutinized all over the world, even if we know it or not.
Well, we're supposed to be the best country in the world. And I don't know if the Ferguson thing overshadowed this, but we're just reading headlines here. But you heard about the kid in Cleveland, was he 12? But here, to his... You know, this is terrible all around. I feel like an ass just talking about it so lightly because it happened. But this guy was playing with an airsoft gun, but supposedly, I don't know if these are all true, but the yellow or the orange cap was removed. And an old guy called the cops and said, "Hey, this gun is probably fake, but he's waving it around at everybody like he's trying to shoot him. You better get somebody over here." The cops... Patrick's face... He's just waiting.
No,
to leave.
It gets to me every time.
He's just waiting to leave. He's like, "How do I duck out of here?
How do I get out of here? I can't stand this anymore. These two babbling fools who do nothing about politics, while he's sitting in Washington, D.C., thinking he's all high and mighty, having a kid, having a wife, having a beautiful life, running things. Look at him.
Look
at him
Christmas
laughing
tree.
It up.
You see his Christmas tree in the back? It's beautiful.
Yeah, it looks good. Yeah, move over a little bit. Let me see that Christmas tree.
Did you get a bigger TV? Did he get a bigger TV?
Looking good.
Is there no? It's still the same small one. It's all right.
Know.
It's good.
It's
all right. It's all right. So anyway, this kid gets.
I do think though.
No, whatever.
Yeah, the kid gets.
You know
go
the
ahead.
Story. You know the story.
Go
the
ahead.
Kid
gets
shot. The cop.
I know the story.
Shoots him within 2 seconds of arriving. You know.
Sure.
Sort of a shoot, and then you
but
heard
it's
about
not,
the...
they didn't get that on camera. Right.
No, they did. They did. There's a security cam footage of the cop pulling up and popping him. But then you also heard about the kid in the Bronx who was in the stairwell, didn't have a gun. I think he was 15 or 16, and the cop just shot him and said his gun went off on him, you know, accidentally.
I didn't hear about that one.
Oh, yeah. That was in the Bronx.
Jeez.
I think it was in the Bronx.
Do you think – here's my only thing about these cops having cameras on. Do you think it's a product – of the hysteria of all these cops? Because do you think there's more cops shooting kids or unarmed people than there have been in the past? Or do you think it's just been that way the entire existence of law enforcement and we're just seeing it now because it's more in the media?
Well, I think everybody's got a cell phone now. Everybody records stuff. So, like, nobody's getting away with anything. Cosby, CeeLo, Ray Rice, who else?
Ray Rice.
You know, like everybody's getting caught. You're getting, you know, everything's being filmed.
So back in the day, you could kill, rape, and have a merry old time and not get and get away with it.
It's true.
It's true.
All right, we're gonna talk about something a little lighter because it's been really heavy.
All right,
we've been out of our show mode lately. The other day, went to Redbox because I was finishing up my grocery shopping.
All right.
$1.50, rented a Blu-ray.
Okay.
For 24 hours. Made me think, this little Redbox, the thing that's the size of a hall closet, has totally replaced Blockbuster.
Well, Blockbuster doesn't exist anymore. That's gone.
Right. But it's been something so small.
And the funny thing is, I used to work for Blockbuster, so these little boxes have replaced my old job.
It's true.
So where were your thoughts on that? Were you just like, that's it?
It was just amazing that, like, on a Friday night 20 years ago, you'd pile in the car, go to Blockbuster, you know.
It was an outing.
See what was behind, you know, make sure that your movie was behind the new releases that you wanted. And now you just go to a freaking box at the store. Freestanding.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think that tells something for our culture and our society now is that we don't have that, like, let's go out and enjoy being in public. Let's go sneak to a box, get what we want, and get out of there as fast as possible.
It's true.
Who are you typing to over there? Who are you typing to?
Patrick. His eyes look really blue.
They're beautiful.
Good show.
Good show.
My ear itches, man.
So I went and saw the new Hunger Games.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was pretty awful. I don't know why I keep going to those things.
Because your woman makes you. Let's talk. Did you see Interstellar?
Joe, too. I did see Interstellar. You saw it the other day, right?
In IMAX.
What'd you think about it?
It was good. It was really, you know, the end got a little crazy, got a little nuts. But my big thing, and I always, you know, I every time I go to the museum and I see, like, dinosaur skeletons and I see, like, these, you know, this stuff, and I was like, this is amazing. It blows my mind, you know, like how big the universe is, how big our galaxy is, you know?
Sure.
And at the risk.
The endless possibility.
Yeah. The endless, you know, I just really want to see aliens. I want to make contact with other life forms. Maybe not me personally.
Speaking of contact.
Yes.
What? Speaking of contact, I'll say this about Interstellar. It tried to be Contact, but it came across as just a poor man's Armageddon. All it was emotion-based, like a love story between this like father who's, well, I don't even know, doesn't grow old, and a daughter who's going to die. And it was just too sappy, and everything else about it was like, you had a lot of possibilities. Like, all the worlds that they went to could have been awesome. They could have been something that were just so amazing, but they ended up just being,
Well, like, it could have been a 9-hour movie.
The water planet. It could have been, but I mean, even the parts that were in there, it was like you just could have done more. It just, I just didn't really feel like it connected with the whole story around. And then you also had the Matt Damon character.
Oh, he was good.
Oh, well, I guess we should say spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about it. Spoiler alert. Look spoiler at Patrick. Alert. He's really wide-eyed.
Oh,
wide-eyed
and
blue-eyed.
It?
I don't know. Have you seen it? Not if you saw it.
Yeah, well, let's not ruin it for him. Let's not ruin it for our only
listeners. He hasn't. I'll just say this about Matt Damon. His character made no sense. His character obviously must have had some kind of, like, space dementia. But really, what was his goal there?
I think he was just
his goal was convoluted, and it didn't make sense.
He was by himself for years on that planet, you know, like, he's, you know.
So people come, he calls them in, just to go back, and what does he do? I don't want to spoil it, but I guess go see it.
Yeah, go see it. Make up your own. Patrick's looking for cameras here. He wants me to
What's
point
he doing?
Him. He's looking for cameras. He wants me to point him to a nice camera. That lens, I wouldn't get that lens. It's a cheap lens. You're better off buying a body for a good
what
DSLR
is this,
body.
The Patrick and Giggles show?
Well, he's asking me a professional question about cameras. What else are we talking about? Good movie, bad movie.
Apparently nothing. Good movie, bad movie. Ah, Jesus. But I would say if you want to go see a movie, a good movie about the whole multi-dimensional, multi-universe type thing, is definitely I would suggest Contact over.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen
over
that.
Interstellar.
I haven't seen it. I'll have to get it on.
You
Blu-ray.
Haven't seen Contact?
Well, check this out.
Go down to the red box.
The red box. I got a Blu-ray player. Said. On Black Friday, I promised myself I wasn't going to buy anything on Black Friday, and I walked into Costco because I got some gas on my way up to a gig, and I had to throw that in there. I'm working, and
you're working,
and I saw Blu-ray players for $50. I was like, done, deal,
got done, one. Deal.
So I watched Captain Phillips last night.
You watch Captain Phillips?
Yeah.
What'd you think of Captain Phillips? I watched that on the way back. No, on the way to Thailand, my 24-hour flight.
Oh, God.
I know. What'd you think of Captain Phillips?
It was good. I knew what was going to happen. I knew what was going to happen, so, you know.
Why, did you research it before you went and watched it?
No, I watched the news when they were talking about they, you know, popped the guys three shots all at the same time. You know, this is a good story. I when I was in eighth grade, you know, your parents tell you you can be anything you want to be, but they sort of steer
sure,
you.
We all know that's a lie.
They sort of steer you. I really wanted in eighth grade, I really wanted to be a Navy SEAL. I really thought that I was going to be a Navy SEAL.
Terrible Navy SEAL.
I would have died in the pool.
Terrible.
When they tie your hands.
They would have threw you overboard.
I was like, excuse me, I got to take my contacts out.
So you wanted to be in Navy SEALs. Then what'd you do?
Then I was going to be a professional dancer, and then that didn't happen.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. No, I'm glad that didn't happen.
What else is happening?
Did your parents encourage you to be a Navy SEAL?
No. I just want to – well, I went to the Navy base where they – you know, and I watched a Navy SEAL movie, and I was like, oh, I want to be that guy. It's just like after watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in 1989 – or 93, and I wanted to be a ninja.
You wanted to be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yeah.
You wanted to be a ninja. You're really like, you're susceptible to seeing things and wanting to do them. No wonder you moved to Colorado.
It's true. We should wrap this up soon. Oh, so here's, let's end this on here, because we're on a big social media kick, and, you know, be careful what you say. You heard about the Republican staffer, Garrigan will like this, that what is called went to Facebook ranting about Sasha and Malia at the turkey things that the turkey. Did you hear about this?
The turkey thing? Because they were quote unquote over it.
Yeah. It blows it up and she has to resign. Well, she doesn't have to, but she does resign, which is kind of like you. That's why I was like, I'm not saying anything about Ferguson. I'm not saying anything about Cosby. I'm not saying any, you know, I'm not that I'm getting fired. I'm self-employed, but you know, it was good.
You already did say things about both those things.
It's true. Well, she did get fired. Yeah, she got.
What's your point?
I don't know.
So she got fired. She got fired for what? Calling out Malia and the other one?
Yeah, well, just being, you know, it's like kids are off limits. You can't, you know.
Are kids off limits? You have a kid.
It's true. You talk about him and come over and cut your throat.
Well, no, you wouldn't, because I'm like an uncle to that kid.
It's true.
It's true. It's look true. At Patrick's eyes. They're all freaked
blue.
Out.
Blue. He's
They're blue. All right, we're gonna do something like that.
We're gonna wrap this up.
It was a good show. We had a lot of fun. Thanks for Kat for coming on. Go look up Catherine Brooks. Go donate. I think she's already I don't know when she started the the Kickstarter, but she's already got like, I think she wants 450,000, which is wow.
450,000.
I can't remember how much she wanted, but it was a lot of money. But she's already got like 6,000 in a couple days, which is pretty good.
$450,000.
Did you look it up? I'm looking it up.
What's it called? Off the record or face to face?
Confidential. You're not going to keep talking. You're just going to sit there. You're a real funny guy.
I don't see anything.
I'm looking it up. She posted that out. She's good to us. Here it is. Kickstarter. Catherine Brooks. Confidential. She is trying to... Where the hell is the thing she's trying to raise? I can't find it. Son of a bitch. Here we are, just wasting the end of this show. Details. 100,000. She's trying to raise 100,000. All right. You're just gonna sit there and sound. You were. I'm gonna officially say that you were useless on this show today.
It's true. I was checking my email.
You're useless on this show today. Good show.
You
look good, but you're useless.
Patrick looks good.
Good show. Patrick always looks good. Miss you, buddy.
We gotta get back on the show. All
right, I'm calling this one.
This is over.
I'm calling this one. This is over. Did you record it?
Yeah.
All right, send it to me. All right, boys and girls. Have a good night.
Good show.
Oh, I hit it again. I always do that. I wanted to hit this.
Idly hey.
Go home.
Doodly do.
Oh, I do that every time. All right, I'm going to do this again.
Idly hey.
Go home.
Doodly do.
Later.